Hello and welcome to More Than Learning, the podcast from FiveApp. My name's Andrew Jacobs. This is the third episode in a season of podcasts from FiveApp all about getting stuff done. It's great to hear from the thought leaders and theorists about what we should be doing, but hearing from people who are doing the do and getting stuff done is an opportunity not to be missed. In this episode, we speak to a series of experts. Arash Mazziniani, Dan Hewitt, Simon Gibson, Sally Rhodes, Jody Pritchard, and Liam Moore about comms and engagement. We'd initially thought this episode would be about effective comms strategies, but as we recorded, we realised there was a lot more to be said about engagement. So what do the experts think about comms in L&D? Getting stuff done can't happen if people don't know about what you're able to support, how, when, and where. In the learning space, we need to work much better on marketing our services, and I was keen to find out what that looks like in practice. First up, here's Dan Hewitt talking about why comms matters to him.
Yeah, so I think comms are such an integral part of our role because, well, I think, again, there's two ways of looking at it. One, if you go slightly more traditional L&D, if you are producing things and trying to get them out there, then how are people going to know what's available to them? So there's all the different ways you can communicate with people in your organization. And every organization will have different preferences and different ways of doing them, as individuals do. But, you know, for me, it's integral to kind of go, okay, here's what we've got. Come and get it. At the same time, it's about being more proactive with that. I've got a post-it note above my screen here, which is build it and they will not come. So it's about going, okay, what are the different ways that we actually need to reach people where they are, embed things into the flow of how they work when they need it, rather than building something that's somewhere separate that they then need to come and get, I suppose.
Next up, I wanted to know what Arash thought.
We do some comms initiatives, but we do have an internal comms team. But I think there is a bit of an overlap between what they do and sometimes what we do. And that's almost a bit of an ongoing, not point of conflict, but an ongoing interesting point in terms of sometimes stakeholders will come to us for what we may feel. Actually, that's not necessarily learning. That's more of a comms piece. But we still have to heavily guide and sort of get involved in terms of communications of whatever it is that we roll out, because I think that's something that in the past we have seen, if it's neglected, then things don't always land as well as they should.
It's great that Arash recognises it's not just about learning. The comms elements matter and they need to be done right. I asked Liam Moore, what happens when we get comms wrong?
I guess we get comms wrong by not thinking enough about it, by not understanding the nature of our work as communication-based and engagement-based and people-based. I think perhaps, and I'm borrowing from something I think Nick Shackleton-Jones mentioned at an event I was at the other day, more than any other part of the organisation, learning and development operates in lots of different spheres and has reach into lots of different areas of the business. And in order to do that well, you have to be able to communicate well, and you have to understand what the different tools available to you are, and working with the comms team obviously is one of the central points of that.
So Liam points out quite clearly that relationships with comms really matters. But what happens when you don't have that? Here's Dan Hewitt again.
We get around it by using different channels and understanding what people's preferences are. So who are the people that are really close to people in the business? So our partners, for example, you know, they're in those leadership team meetings. They're the ones who are really hearing what people are working on and working around. So if we really equip them with kind of deep understanding of what is available and what's needed, and we also equip them with the skills to delve into that and ask great questions to understand what those leaders need, then they can kind of marry the two together and meet people where they're at. And there's then also the bit, you know, I said earlier about traditional L&D, but actually, if we can look at what is our purpose, it's to help people be the best they can be. It's to help them be better at what they do, be more effective, more efficient, increase performance. So actually, is that us building something and needing to communicate it to people? Or is it something that they are just accessing in the way they work? In which case, do you actually need communication as such, because it's right there for them?
Dan nails it. It's not just comms. It's about engaging with people in the way they work. I was keen to find out from Sally Rhodes about engagement, and what does she do?
So when I'm thinking about our engagement strategy, which is in its infancy at the moment, I'm really talking about how we engage with our employees. And at the moment, you know, we've got content libraries, we've got enterprise-wide content libraries that nobody knows exist and people don't use. The utilization is really low. But an engagement strategy for me has got to be two ways. So whilst we might want to push out, hey, did you know this exists and all of those sorts of things, if it's proper engagement, it's got to be coming the other way as well. So that we're hearing what people want, what they're telling us. We can respond and tweak what we're doing to make it more effective or land better. Even in things like some of the automated emails that get sent out and things like that, you know, quite often you just, I think people forget, once they're automated and they're set up, people forget that content exists and what messages are in there and whose name's at the bottom of them and things like that. And we've kind of got to keep on top of those things, because from an employee's perspective, that might be the only contact they get with L&D. Because they do everything else themselves, or it comes down through their team or from their manager or something like that. So I think we've got to be a lot more aware of those learner touch points than we have been, and a bit more rigorous about how we keep them up to date.
Sally is starting this stuff, and I was keen to find out from Dan about how they were looking at engagement and what data they may use to track it. I asked Simon Gibson about tracking engagement, and his answer is both surprising and a lot of common sense.
Yeah, it's just, it's ease, convenience, that's, and you can't, this is where, you know, there's a good example there, right? So some of our stores use TikTok to showcase either ways of doing things or TikTok-esque capture of a particular process. It's not a platform, right? It's not a vehicle that we corporately use. There's more, but and I can't mine it either, right? But there's more information shared quicker, cleaner, faster, easier that way than there is posted on our internal social network that's where it was built to do. I'm not saying we have to go and use TikTok. I'm not saying we should plug everybody into WhatsApp. The point is about the user experience for me, right?
Jody has employees and volunteers to work with, so I was keen to find out how she measured engagement.
Oh, great question. Well, I don't know if anyone's actually nailed how you measure engagement, to be honest. I can tell you a number of ways that we try and engage with people and then measure kind of our engagement, but actually, does it give you a real full view of engagement? Probably not. No. Is it a wonderfully perfect answer to how do you measure engagement? No. But it does give us a bit of intel and insight in regards to what we're doing right, what we can work on better, and what we can do differently. And a lot of that is around analysing data. A lot of that is understanding who is engaging with us regularly, and more importantly, usually, who isn't. So we can look at our data, and I could probably tell you the people or the local offices that we work with or the teams within our organisation that will be most engaged with us. And that is wonderful. But actually, more of a focus for me are those that aren't. So we would tend to tip that on its head and go, okay, so these people haven't been engaged with us on any of our 5 to 10 projects previously. What can we do to try and engage with them? So I don't think there is any magic answer to how you measure engagement. I think what is the most important thing is understanding who your biggest fans are, understanding who your supporters are, and truly understanding who isn't engaged with what you're doing and what you can do to try and bridge that and either bring them on side or understand their challenges and just be okay with that. If that's an option.
I went back to Liam to ask about how he thought we might measure engagement.
I guess it depends how we understand engagement, really. Engagement for me is about people, employees, building a sense of commitment to the things that are really important to the organization. We identify those things in different ways. One of those ways is to look at how culture, business practices, interpersonal communication, considerations of diversity and inclusion, all of these different topics and themes, how those things change shape over time.
With a large and diverse workforce spread geographically and in a number of roles, I wanted to find out, how did Dan address this engagement question?
We face this quite often. Like, what one of our statements we've got in what we do in my team is traditional low engagement with what we do. Now, what we don't really know, and what we're trying to dig into the data and build our data set around, is, okay, why is that? Is it because people don't know about it? So are we communicating in the wrong way or in the wrong channels? Or is it because they know about it, but they're just too busy? So they're too busy doing their work, as it were, to access learning or spend time on their development. Or is it the wrong stuff? Are they just not interested in it? So are we not hitting the mark with what's going to help them with their performance? So yes, we kind of measure our comms. You know, we can embed analytics in our sites. We can see who's read a Slack message. We can see who's looked at a video, and that gives us some insight as to what works and what doesn't. And we've done a few experiments around that. But actually, that's only measuring one part of the story, because it still might be that they might have read the comms, but they're too busy to actually do anything. Or it might be, yes, they've read it, they've got time to do it, but it's the wrong thing. So it's about having the joined up view of what are all the different elements that come together.
This idea of counting and measuring engagement seems to be doing the rounds. So I went back to Sally again.
A lot of measures are still using NPS, but actually, I don't know. I think maybe it's return. It'd be people that come back to us and start to ask for our input, I think I take it as a really informal measure, something like that, of how would I be able to tell that somebody trusts me enough to come to me with a problem or come to me with a question or a suggestion. It's that unsolicited piece, I think, that makes me start to think that we've got a better level of engagement than we had before, because, you know, we're communicating more on different things. I don't know how I'm going to measure it, though. I don't know how I'm going to count those things. Feels like I need something like, you know, the Microsoft Viva stuff going on in the background where it tells you about your engagement levels and things like that. But I think that's how I know, I think, that engagement was improving. But it's a difficult one.
Jody had more to say on this as well.
We can look at statistics and we can look at NPS and we can look at how many clicks we've had on the learning platform, and we can look at how many people get our learning newsletter, and we can look at how many people join our Q&A session or our forum session every month. And that's great, and it tells us one story, but the story that isn't told is all the people that don't. So they're the ones that we really need to make sure that we're working on, rather than the ones that are already engaged. And as I say, I don't think there is a magic answer to that. I'd love to hear it. Please get in touch if you do know that there is a magic answer to that. But that's the biggest thing, I think, that as L&D teams we can do with engagement, is just understanding, have a really good understanding of who's engaged, who isn't, and then focusing on how you keep your engaged people engaged you know, supporting, feeding back, being part of what you're doing, and then how you try and bring those that aren't engaged with you at the moment along with you, and you know, build relationships with them, or just better understand what's driving that disengagement. It might just be the fact they don't know what exists, where it is, and they're very happily to hear that work is happening, and you know, they're easily turned around. That might not be the case though, and you might have challenges that you need to kind of overcome as part of that conversation. So it's going into that being really open-minded and just trying to get a better understanding of things from their perspective, really.
That idea of negative space is really important, I think. If you're only measuring the people who are already with you, you're only ever going to find out from those people who already know what you do. So engagement and its effects need to be bigger than what we've done before. I went back to Liam for the last word.
I suppose the fundamental measure of engagement is, are we seeing the changes that we want to see happening as a consequence of the things that we're doing? People turning up, people reading or downloading our resources are kind of limited, important, but limited perspectives on whether what we're doing is working.
The team at FiveApp have loved having the chance to speak with practitioners about this. It's pretty clear. Comms and marketing really matter, and working with your comms team really matters too. It's also about making sure that you get your message through and not be afraid of people sharing outside of the normal comms channels. More importantly, the metrics around engagement really matter. We agree with the experts here. Engagement is more than clicks and seeing the outcomes and impact of the work the learning functions has done. And it's essential to demonstrate how you're able to work within the organisation. What do FiveApp do? Well, they make it easy to see what people are doing to develop, but more importantly, can help you promote what you need people to do. And they prove impact, which, as we heard, is what most L&D functions would like to do. Thank you for listening, and keep an ear open for the next episode in Getting Stuff Done from the team at FiveApp.